This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Interfaith Business Builders is an organization of diverse Cincinnatians developing community-based, employee-owned and operated cooperative businesses in low-income communities. In its 32 years, IBB has developed four social enterprises, two of which today are employee-owned cooperatives. And joining us to discuss Interfaith Business Builders and its employee-owned cooperative business model are Executive Director Ray West, Board of Trustee Vice Chair Dr. Timothy Kloppenberg, Professor Emeritus at Xavier University's Williams College of Business, and Board of Trustee Member Mohammed, who is also a member of two interfaith social enterprises, Cooperative Janitorial Services and Community Blend. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Ray, how did Interfaith Business Builders get its start?
Interfaith Business Builders started back in the early 1980s when we were going through another recession, and we saw industries closing and the impact on neighborhoods, and we realized jobs are an issue, and even retention of businesses and industries can be an issue in our neighborhoods. And we began looking around for models then for how to build more stability into the neighborhoods with the businesses and set upon this cooperative ownership model.
Okay, talk a little bit more, describe it a little bit more. What exactly is a cooperative business model?
Sure. Cincinnati is fortunate to have quite a number of businesses that are employee-owned or where part of the stock of the business is owned by the employees, Procter & Gamble, Messer Construction, so on. So cooperatives are a version of that, and cooperatives are spelled out in Ohio law under the cooperative statute. And basically, a worker cooperative is an employee-owned business where each employee owns one and only one share of stock in that company.
Is a credit union an example of a cooperative? Is
that credit unions are okay. Another example. They're not worker cooperatives, but they're cooperatives. You hear about food cooperatives, especially right now here in Cincinnati, housing cooperatives, mutual insurance companies, farm cooperatives. You often see the silos out in the rural areas saying co-op. All of these are variations on the cooperative ownership model.
So, Tim, this is a viable business model then?
Very much so. I got attracted to this because I believe there are four sectors of society. We have the traditional for-profit business, we have nonprofits, we have government, and the fourth sector is sort of a hybrid, and it's the cooperatively owned one. And I think the reason that we need this is, in many cases, there are needs in our neighborhoods that the numbers just don't attract the capital with a traditional for-profit company. So we can start up small cooperative businesses that help fill some of those niches.
Mohammed, what do you see as the need for this type of a program in Cincinnati?
Well, basically, it gives an individual a chance not only to be gainfully employed, but it also gives an individual a chance to become a business owner. Make decisions. Also, it transforms neighborhoods. You take a neighborhood that's not doing well, might be high in crime. This way, you fill a niche, you create a business, and it can turn the neighborhood around. Give the people gainfully employment, and also business owner, and they have a say in things.
Right. What makes these cooperative businesses such a good fit for community business initiatives?
The important thing about these cooperatives in terms of business initiative is that they can assist in pooling the capital that's necessary to start that business, even when it's in a low-income community. Low-income communities, by definition, aren't going to have a lot of capital, but an organization like Interfaith Business Builders is able to attract charitable educational dollars, which can be invested into the businesses with stipulations so they maintain their charitable educational purpose, and thus get those businesses up and running and becoming self-sustaining businesses. The idea there is that they will not be forever dependent upon a subsidy. The subsidy is only initial for the startup, and from there on, they're self-sustaining businesses.
Tim, what about the role of mentoring? Do you get a lot of that from business and professional leaders in this type of a model?
Yes. We have quite a few people who volunteer in one way or another that way. And a variation on the role of mentoring or an idea there is within the cooperative business, we're teaching the workers not only business skills, but we're really teaching them cooperation, community development, a lot of other skills. And then each cooperative elects two of their members to be on the board of directors for our umbrella organization, Interfaith Business Builders. And in that role, they're learning how to interact with executives who are on the board and in an equal manner. And it's very empowering.
Mohammed, tell me about the two social enterprises that you're involved in. It's the Community Blend and Cooperative Janitorial Services.
Correct.
Tell me about those.
Well, basically, when Community Blend was just in the talking stage about 6 or 7 years ago, I used to attend meetings, talk about how nice it would be to have a coffee shop in Evanston. And we were just putting ideas out there, just planning, trying to get a location. And basically, we had kind of stalled on a location. And I asked Ray for application to Cooperative Janitorial Service. And I became a member owner in that enterprise.
So the Community Blend, that's a fair trade coffee shop, right?
Yes.
Okay. How's this feel? I mean, there has to be just a great degree of work satisfaction, knowing that you really have a stake in what you're doing.
Well, I've been a member of the Evanston community since the 50s. So basically, it's heartwarming to have not only a business in my community, but also I'm an owner of the business in my community, transforming the community. Also, with our location, it's a starting block for the northern end of the Evanston Business District. So it's very overpowering and heartwarming.
Ray, how do you even start putting a co-op business together? How do you determine if a service and a location and its viability?
Well, that takes quite a bit of initial research.
Sounds like from what Mohammed was saying, yes, it does.
It certainly does. It takes years. It involves initially brainstorming and conversations with groups in the neighborhoods. Then we move to feasibility studies, and if those hold up, we develop a business plan and begin implementing it. And what's very important in all that is having the partners and the resource organizations to make that happen. We've been very fortunate for quite a number of years now to be working with Xavier University, including their Williams College of Business, where we've had a lot of expertise provided both through the professors and the classes. Also, the Community Building Institute there at Xavier has been crucial for the interactions with the communities. And it's that combination of partnerships that enable us to go through a methodical step-by-step process, selecting and then developing the actual co-op business.
Now, Tim, there are two other social enterprises that your organization's been involved in. Can you tell me about those?
Well, Ray could probably answer better because they were in business before I got involved with IBB.
Sure. One was a temporary labor business that began in the mid-80s and ran for 10 years. Closed when we realized that the larger corporations were moving away from smaller suppliers to the the larger players, which we were not, and also a construction company that ran through the 90s and ran for about 10 years and then closed. But the Cooperative Janitorial Service is celebrating its 20th anniversary this year. We're very proud of that, and it's been an employee-owned co-op the entire time. And, of course, Community Blend is now a year old.
So how overall have these businesses done, Ray? I mean, what kind of sales have they generated? What kind of wages have they generated? How many people have they employed?
Sure. Over the years, these four enterprises have generated over $4.5 million in sales and over $2.5 million in wages. We're very proud of that. The janitorial cooperative, for instance, has been running at a consistent profit for well over a dozen years now. So there's a small profit-sharing plan in place each year for the worker owners, part of the profits staying in the business and part of the profits being distributed on what in cooperative law is called a patronage formula.
So these do pretty well for the co-op members as well.
Yes, yes. And the average wage, for instance, in the janitorial right now is $10.40 an hour, which is a good bit higher than in most janitorial companies.
Mohammed, or whoever wants to talk about this, for Community Blend, when you were getting that going, did you have experts who had restaurant or coffee shop experience help with the planning and the startup?
Yes. We had people from Equal Exchange come in. We also had local people that own coffee shops. They would come in, give us seminars, stuff like that. It was very open. It was very giving. Everybody, you know, were happy because they wanted to see, you know, businesses grow, and it was like really for like a good cause.
You know, that's one of the exciting things, talking about that notion of a compassionate economy. Mm-hmm. It was just incredible for us to see how coffee shop owners and baristas from around town came in and said, hey, you're not competition for us. We want to help you, and provided good advice and information and helped us get up and running.
I had my start before I was on the board when I was still a professor at Xavier. Student teams that were in my classes would plan something for one of the cooperatives. And the students just loved the opportunity of feeling like they were part of a difference, part of helping to revitalize a neighborhood by helping a cooperative business make a good decision.
Tim, as people find out about these co-ops that IBB is developing, mm-hmm. did you get this reaction where they say, we need more of that in Cincinnati?
Yes, I think so. But it is one where we continually need to describe to people, just like this, what we're all about and why it's important, because cooperatives are probably less well understood than traditional companies or than nonprofit organizations.
It's been very interesting. Before the recession of a few years ago, there was not that much interest in cooperatives. Since the recession and the realization we've got some long-term economic issues we're dealing with, the cooperative notion, when we present it to people, is much more readily accepted and embraced.
Mohammed, tell me, who else are you working with on your projects? How many people are involved in the coffee shop and the janitorial service?
Okay, well, basically, that's how I met Tim. I was in one of his management organization classes at Xavier, and the class was doing a project for Community Blend, and I was involved in that. But it's an outpouring of a lot of people. You have Ms. Atkins, who is the president of the Evanston Community Council. You have Father John, who is the pastor of St. Andrew's Church in Evanston. You have the Evanston Employment Resource Center. Also, too, you have the Cincinnati Police, Citizens on Patrol. They're involved. So basically, you have a big, strong neighborhood impact, and also you have other resources, such as Xavier University. Also, you have like other churches and other communities. So it's basically everybody that has come to the realization that the present corporate structure is not working and can't fulfill the economic needs, and it can't uplift people out of poverty.
So it sounds like this is a good way of, as we were talking about in the earlier discussion, getting economic control back to the local level.
Sure.
Yes. Sure.
And I would like to emphasize, I had most of my career as a business professor. I still think that the for-profit traditional business environment does a great deal of good and is absolutely essential.
It has its place.
And a very large place, but it's not enough. There are niches that it just doesn't serve well. In addition to that, when we're thinking about local communities, very local communities, when the workers who live in the communities are the owners, they're not going to move. And so this is one additional factor that helps to promote stability.
Yeah, absolutely. It's beneficial to the neighborhoods, isn't it?
Right.
Yes.
Now, does the fact that these have been going for more than 30 years, Ray, does that give you hope that there's the fact that IBB has been doing this for more than 30 years, and does that give you hope that there's a lot of potential in these projects?
It certainly does. Right now, we've got 25 people employed in those two cooperative businesses. We've got plans for additional businesses. We're bringing in more partners who can provide more resources to make this happen. We envision within a few years now seeing well over 100 people employed in the businesses in several neighborhoods, and then growing quickly beyond that. We think we're at a point right now where we're going to be able to bring all of this to scale and make a significant impact in the city. We've learned what we needed to learn. We've put together our systems, networks, partnerships, our expertise, and we're really ready to take off now and have a substantial impact in the neighborhoods.
Mohammed, do you have plans to become more involved in the other co-op businesses, or maybe be involved in starting a new one?
Yes, there's conversation about starting some co-ops in Price Hill and Lower Price Hill. Basically, they're looking at a coffee shop. They're also looking at a laundromat. And conversations are going on to make those a reality. Also, too, our strategic plan where our systems, our models can be put in place and be successful. We're having a regional conference with national and international people that are well known in co-ops. They're going to be coming up this fall, also next spring. We're going to have an international conference where big name people that are involved in co-ops will be here in Cincinnati.
Has this been a life changer for you?
I wouldn't say a life changer, but it's been a pleasant change. It's been a joyful change.
Ray, if someone has an idea about starting a co-op, can they contact Interfaith about getting possible help and pitch that idea to you?
Absolutely. They can reach us at number 513-557-3600. They can also go to our website, interfaithbusinessbuilders.org, and we would look forward to talking with them.
And there's a link to the Interfaith Business Builders site on the WVXU.org website. Tim, what do you think? Where do you see this headed in the future?
Very much what our friends here have said, that we are scaling it a little bit at a time. We're trying to learn lessons from the current co-ops as to what type of co-op we can be most successful at, and how can we decide where to put our resources for the next one.
Ray, Tim, and Mohammed, thanks for joining us this afternoon. Interfaith Business Builders Executive Director Ray West, Board of Trustee Vice Chair Dr. Timothy Kloppenburg, Professor Emeritus at Xavier University's Williams College of Business, and Board of Trustee Member Mohammed.